welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Daniel in the Lion's Den, an adaptation of a traditional Judeo-Christian story written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Augie and Lena and their family, Ellen and Calvin and their family in Boulder, Colorado, Tommy and Sloan Feely and their family in Newark, Delaware, Parker and Morgan Searcy and their family in Somerville, South Carolina, and Ivy and Hazel and their family in Melbourne, Australia. Thank you so much, Hazel, Ivy, Morgan, Parker, Sloan, Tommy, Calvin, Ellen, Lena, and Augie. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite character or scene, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and Friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Daniel in the Lion's Den. Once upon a time, in ancient Babylon, there was a wise king named Darius. He ruled his lands fairly, doing his best to hear every problem and help every person, be they rich or poor. Soon, King Darius realized that one man simply couldn't do the job alone. There were too many people that needed help, too many issues spread all across the kingdom. Darius was overwhelmed, but that's when he had the idea.
"Gather the wisest, the smartest, the most engaged people in the kingdom," he proclaimed, "and bring them to me here in the palace."
His messengers spread like ants in the spring, crawling back and forth over the kingdom, gathering up the best and brightest like crumbs. They brought them to the king, and he formed them into a council of the wise. From among the council, he picked the three wisest, Daniel, Junia, and Bezer. King Darius put them in charge, making them the three leaders of the wise. From that day on, King Darius relied on the leaders and their council to handle the day-to-day problems of the kingdom. They did a good job, and for the most part, everyone was happy, healthy, and had plenty of food to fill their bellies. It was a pleasant time for the kingdom and its neighbors. The people celebrated King Darius, and alongside him, they celebrated Daniel, the wisest of the three leaders. The two would look down from the king's window, and the crowds would roar their approval. "I don't see why Daniel gets all the praise," sniffed Junia one day. "We're leaders, too."
"Oh, Daniel, you're so great. Oh, Daniel, we love you," sneered Bezer. "I'm so over it."
These two were jealous of Daniel because, as wise as they were, he was wiser. And as clever as they could be, he was more clever still. They complained to each other endlessly about how it wasn't fair that they should be overshadowed and Daniel celebrated. Of course, they were overlooking the fact that not only was Daniel wise, he was also kind, a trait the common people loved, and Junia and Bezer both seemed to lack. And as the days went by with the kingdom happy and thankful, their bitterness only got worse and worse. Finally, they decided that in order for them to be the best of the best, they had to get rid of Daniel. "He's too smart to trick," said Junia, her nose crinkling in anger. "We have to make the king get rid of him."
"But King Darius loves him," Bezer said. "He'll never kick Daniel out."
"Yes, he will," whispered Junia. "We just have to find a reason why." The pair of leaders followed Daniel every day and night for the next week, waiting for him to do something wrong. They followed him from the market, and they followed him to the church. They followed him all over Babylon, and never once did they see him do anything to get him in trouble. The only interesting thing he did was pray each night to his God, the God of Israel. He'd wish for good health for the king and for the people, and he would thank his God for his high position in life.
"Thank you, Lord," he'd finish. "Amen."
Junia and Bezer got together after their week of spying and realized they'd come up with nothing. Daniel was a good man, and he didn't so much as litter a candy wrapper or cross the street crooked. That may have made more sensible people realize they were in the wrong, but this pair were totally blind with jealousy. They wanted to be the king's favorite, and they decided if they couldn't do it honestly, they'd do it dishonestly. Part of the job of the council leaders was to bring new laws to King Darius. These were usually little things meant to help the farmers and craftsmen of the city and improve overall life. Junia and Bezer saw an opportunity there and drafted a law in secret, just the two of them. It said that anyone who prayed to anyone other than King Darius had to be punished. There was no escape, no excuses or exceptions, and the punishment was terrible. Anyone caught would be dragged to the far end of the palace and thrown in the lion's den. And the lions were always very, very hungry. Junia and Bezer slipped their law in with a dozen other laws and distracted King Darius as he signed them. Of course, he trusted the pair nearly as much as Daniel and didn't have a reason to be suspicious. It felt to the king like a perfectly normal morning. The next day, during the time when Daniel always prayed, Junia and Bezer sent the palace guards to his room. They found him praying to the God of Israel and breaking the new law. Daniel was locked in chains and dragged before the king.
"Daniel," King Darius said, astonished. "What is he doing here? Daniel, what are you doing here?"
"Yeah, I don't know, my friend," Daniel said. "I suspect something is amiss."
"Sir," said Junia, "he broke your law. He prayed to the God of Israel and not to you."
"What craziness is this?" the king snapped. "He can pray to whomever he likes. As long as he's good to the people of Babylon, I'm happy to have him."
"I'm sorry, sir," said Bezer, showing him the new law the king had signed. "But you passed this law just yesterday, my king."
The king snatched the law and read it on his throne, his face growing paler, his eyes wider as he went.
"This can't be," he muttered as he went. "I don't remember deciding this."
"Nor do I, King Darius," said Daniel. He realized what was happening, but he seemed strangely unconcerned.
"Bring me legal scholars,"
the king called, and they were summoned. Together, they read the new law front to back and back to front and even upside down, but no matter how they read it, it said the same thing.
I'm sorry, Daniel," the king said finally. "It's the law. I have to throw you in the lion's den."
"Yeah, don't worry about it," said Daniel, smiling even in his chains. "I wouldn't have changed for some nonsense law even if I had known. Faith is important to me, and the God of Israel won't let me be harmed because of it."
The king nodded kindly, but he didn't see how the God of Israel would protect his dear friend from a pride of hungry lions. Junia and Bezer smiled at each other. They'd gotten away with it, and now Daniel was going to be dinner and out of the picture. Now they would be the wisest of the wise, and the people would cheer their names. It was perfect. The next morning, Daniel was dragged in his chains to the far end of the palace. There, set into the stone of the floor, was the lion's den.
"I'm sorry, Daniel,"
King Darius said.
"I don't want to do this, but the law is the law. I can't give you special treatment."
Daniel smiled and laid a hand on his friend's shoulder.
"Don't worry, my king," he said. "I have faith,
and the God of Israel's not going to let me get harmed."
"I wish I could believe you,"
the king said, and then he gave the signal. Some guards cranked a giant wheel, and slowly, the iron cover of the lion's den lifted into the air. Underneath was a giant sandy pit, walled with stone and full of prowling, roaring, hungry lions. Junia and Bezer smiled at one another, a secret, sly smile.
"I can't watch,"
King Darius said, and he fled from the lion's den before Daniel could be thrown in. All that night, he couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, couldn't rest. Every time he closed his eyes, he saw his friend in the lion's den, and they snapped open again. It was a long and miserable night, full of long and miserable shadows. The next morning, as soon as the sun was up, King Darius ran back to the far end of the palace. The guards were already there, and Junia and Bezer, still smiling smugly. Under the heavy iron lid, they could hear the lion's contented purring.
"Sounds like they ate well,"
Bezer whispered to Junia, and they both laughed.
"Open the lion's den,"
the king said.
"I can't bear to wait any longer."
The guards turned the wheel again, and the iron lid rose slowly into the air.
"Daniel! Daniel!"
the king called, not daring to look.
"Daniel, did you survive?"
"Unlikely," whispered Junia.
"Fat chance," agreed Bezer.
Then, from deep in the lion's den,
"Good morning, friends," called Daniel. "My faith was rewarded. An angel came and closed the lion's jaws so they couldn't bite me. It was awesome." "A miracle,"
called the king, tears of happiness rolling freely down his cheeks.
"Get him out of there."
A ladder was lowered and Daniel climbed out of the lion's den. When he emerged, the king gave him a hug and apologized.
"I've struck down that law," Darius said. "People can pray to whomever they'd like as long as they're good to each other."
"What?" shrieked Junia, more jealous of Daniel than ever. "You're going to change the law? This is ridiculous. The lions, like, probably just weren't hungry."
"Yeah,"
agreed Bezer.
"Look at this."
He laid down on his stomach and stretched his hand into the pit, wiggling his fingers.
"See, they're just not hungry."
But just as he said it, a lioness leapt into the air with a snarl. Bezer screamed and jerked his hand back, the jaws snapping shut inches below.
"Oh, not hungry," said the king, laughing. "You know, last night I thought a lot about where that strange law may have come from, and I remembered you and Junia visiting the day before with a stack to sign. I wonder who it was that wrote such a brutal punishment."
The king turned to stare angrily at Junia and Bezer.
"I think you two should be gone by tomorrow, or else we'll try this whole lion's den thing just one more time."
The pair looked at each other and then turned and ran from the palace. They kept running and running until they were out of the kingdom and no one ever saw them again. Back at the lion's den, the king turned to Daniel.
"I'm glad you've made it through, but I'm confused a little."
"What are you confused about, friend?"
Daniel asked as they walked to the throne room. The man still had the same quiet confidence as always, as though spending the night with a pride of hungry lions was just a sleepover at his aunt's house.
"If the God of Israel is watching out for you, why wouldn't he just keep you out of the lion's den? Why let you get thrown in at all?"
Daniel smiled his gentle smile.
"My friend, my king, faith doesn't always keep you out of hard situations, but faith does always bring you home safe."
"Well said, my friend,"
said King Darius.
"Well said."
The king made Daniel the greatest of all his advisors, and for many years they solved problems and made new laws to make lives better. And throughout it all, everyone was always allowed to have faith, and they could express it however they chose. The End. Today's story, Daniel in the Lion's Den, was an adaptation of a traditional Judeo-Christian story written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.